Greetings to all of you this morning. It's good to again be here and continue our worship time together. I've enjoyed the service, and I was surprised at the singing. With so few people, it didn't sound all that bad. So that's good. And I appreciate the efforts of each one of what you put into it. This morning, I've titled the sermon, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And we're going to sing that song as our closing song this morning. But my thoughts went to that song immediately last Sunday evening. Walt Dawson was sharing his devotions. They're out of Luke 17. And I wasn't planning to preach or use that as a text, but as I went on, I felt led to do that. So I hope, Dawson, you don't mind. I probably won't say the same things you did. And I appreciated what you shared, and it was very good, and had to do with Thanksgiving. And so this is not necessarily a Thanksgiving sermon, although it may it could enter into that as well. But when Dawson was reading that, and in verse 16 in chapter 17 of Luke, and it says, the one that came back, he fell on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. Somehow that, I got a picture, and I thought, I didn't remember what it said till I read it again. I thought it said, he looked up. And anyway, that's the picture I got. And maybe he did. But it says he fell down on his face at his feet. But this song immediately came to my mind, and I got the faith and praise, and I found it. And I'm not exactly sure, but that's what impressed me. And so I was thinking of that all week, a little bit like Brian, I guess, on last Sunday's sermon and that he heard and so on. So I guess the last Sunday evening devotion will just continue that this morning as well. Not that I feel like I need to add to it, but it's just some of the thoughts that I received. And through the week, my mind went to different familiar verses that came to mind. It talks about our eyes turning toward heaven or toward God. And so I want to read some of those as well. But I want to read again Luke 17, starting with verse 11 through verse 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Again, as looking at this, the lepers, and leprosy was a disease of the skin that was like a curse on the people at that time. If you had leprosy, you couldn't stay with your family. You had to go outside the community and live by yourself or with those that had leprosy as well. So there were colonies of lepers around. And I don't know, as I thought of that, I can't imagine how lonely that must have been. You couldn't be with your family. Maybe you could see them at a distance and so on occasionally, but you couldn't intermingle with them and really talk with them because you weren't allowed to get close to them because it was very contagious. And so they lived separate lives by themselves, away from others. And so I can just imagine somehow or other these lepers must have heard about Jesus and knew who he was. And I can just imagine them thinking, you know, I suppose leprosy was like a death sentence. Eventually you would, your limbs would start dying and falling off, and you would just slowly die. It would eat you up as such. And so there wasn't much hope. I'll never be healed. There was no cure. And so when somehow or other they heard that Jesus was coming and they recognized who he was, because they called him Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And I can imagine the fervor. They probably didn't just murmur it, and they probably didn't just say it quietly. I can imagine they hollered. It says they lifted up their voice. I can imagine it was pretty loud. I mean, after all, this is our only hope, our only chance. If Jesus goes by, we missed our chance. I've read stories of people that were stranded, hurt, lost in the mountains or out on sea from shipwreck, maybe for days out on a a lifeboat or something of that nature. And, you know, you're just out there bobbing on the sea, and you're wanting to be rescued, and nobody comes, and you hear a plane coming, and, oh, there's hope. They're going to see us. They're going to rescue us. And it disappears into the distance, and it's like, oh, well, not today. Then maybe again. And then when finally somebody does spot you and they circle, can you just imagine how you would feel? The hope that would rise within you. And then they would dip their wing if it's an airplane and go away, because they would tell you, we saw you, we're going to get help. How you must feel. How would I feel? I can't imagine. And I think that's how these lepers were. It's like, please, Jesus, you're our only hope. Please, give us healing. We know you can. Please have mercy on us. And so what did Jesus do? He just said, go show yourself to the priest. That's what they needed to do. That's what the law required. And how willing they must have been that, hey, Jesus told us what to do. We're going to be healed. And so they went. Just their mind is thinking, we're going to get healed. We got to go to the priest. We've got to do this right. This is our only hope. And so their mind is set on going, on obeying, on doing. And then this one, as they were walking, they got healed before they got to the priest. It says as they were walking, they were healed. Can you imagine? You're walking along, you're looking at your hands. They're white, they're diseased, they're probably painful. And maybe your feet, maybe your ears, maybe other places. All of a sudden it's like, hey, look at that. It's all normal. I'm healed. And I can imagine their steps increased as they went. We got to get to the priest before anything else happens. But this one remembered who it was that healed him, who told them, what to do, that gave them this hope. So he turned around and he came back. And he was very thankful. Were the others not thankful? I can imagine later on they were, at least, if they didn't. But it doesn't talk about them anymore. And Jesus said, there were 10, weren't there? Weren't there 10? Sure there were. But where are the other 9? Were these all Jews? No. This one was a Samaritan. So there could have been a mixture of people there. Did Jesus know this one was a Samaritan when he told the 10 to go to the priest? I think he did. He knew who he was, because God sees everybody. He's concerned, and his mercy and his love is out for everyone to benefit from. But as this person, and Luke makes the effort to record that this was a Samaritan. Why? Because the Samaritans were a despised people. They were looked down upon on by the Jews. They were not worthy to be a part of them. And it's interesting too, the story of the parable that Jesus gave of the Good Samaritan. Who was it that helped the person that was robbed and beaten and so on? It was a Samaritan. The priest, the Levite, the religious people, they didn't have time. They went by. They couldn't become contaminated with whatever blood or whatever may have they may have become into contact with. But the Samaritan, he didn't care. There was an opportunity to help someone, and he did that. Jesus noted that in that parable. And again, he says, he calls him a stranger. Is not a part of the Jewish culture. But this person was thankful. He fell on his face. There are numerous, and I thought of a couple reasons. Why do we, what are a couple reasons that we look, that tend to cause us to look up, to turn our eyes upon Jesus? And I just have a couple reasons here that I said we should or generally do look up. Number one is when we end up at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, or we get to the end of the road and we can't find another way. You know, we talk about our expressions as we get to the end of ourselves. Then we look up. Sometimes God puts us in a bed with sickness or disease or something, where we can do nothing but look up. So that's one time we do, or we become so overwhelmed with whatever we're facing that where do we go first? But we look up. We look toward heaven, toward God, because God has our answers, has our problems, has the answer for our problems. The second one is we cause to look up is when our hearts, our spirits are overflowing with joy. What Brian was talking about this morning, and praise and thankfulness and worship to God for his goodness to us. That causes us to look up as well. And it says here, he fell down on his face. And many times, people that came to Jesus in his presence, they fell down at his feet. And why is that? It's a sign of humility, I believe. Simply, I'm not worthy. Is really what it's saying. I'm not worthy of your presence. I'm not worthy of anything that you would do for me. But I am humbly at your mercy and asking for your help. And that's what God loves. When we get to that place, when we, whether we drop on our knees and we look up, you know, we teach our children to bow our heads, and we do that in prayer. We bow our heads. I'm not saying it's wrong or anything. I mean, it's okay. But I'm wondering if we shouldn't look up when we're praying. And I have a few scriptures that I want to look at that refer to that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong either way. But, you know, when we pray, we look up, and I think that's good. Sometimes, you know, not criticizing when for people to look down. And I know that I find myself, and I've observed other people as well, when they're walking, they're looking down. I mean, it's just a natural stance, I guess. You walk along, I catch myself doing that occasionally, and I've noticed my wife doing that, and so I guess that's why I think about it. I do it too. And then I say, you know what? You need to look up. So you look ahead. They say when you're driving, you shouldn't just focus on right in front of you. You need to get the whole picture further ahead in case something happens. Brake lights are coming on ahead. You don't have to slam on your brakes immediately with that car in front of you starts to stop. So good advice to you younger drivers. They probably teach you that in driver's ed. I'm not sure. I'm guessing. They should anyway. But so get the big picture. Look out. Lift up your head to do that and your eyes. But I know there, it can be a habit. And then there's, I know people that have just, that was their demeanor, of to just be, we would say their chin was dragging the ground, sort of, so to speak. Just that kind of person. And so all they saw was right what's in front of them, right around them. And usually it's not very pretty. But if you look out further, you can get a bigger, better picture and see more and see other people and see the beauty of nature and enjoy what God has blessed us with and done for us. But there are times we're overwhelmed. I can think of a case, I'm not going to mention it, but of a bad situation. And this person just flung himself on the hood of the vehicle and just cried and cried because someone had died and there was an accident and so on. They were just overwhelmed with grief. So sometimes we do that. We just are overwhelmed with our circumstances. And we throw ourselves down. And again, it's, I think, showing humility and, again, begging for the mercy of God, just as this leper did here as well. Psalm 121:1, the psalmist writes, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." The second verse is, "My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." And again, Psalm 123:1, Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. David, and I'm not sure if David's the one that wrote these psalms or not, I didn't pay attention, but often he writes about lifting up his eyes and focusing on God for his help, for his strength, for his guidance, because that's where it comes from. You know, God lives in heaven. Satan is in hell. And so let's look up. Let's focus on where our power is, where God is, where our help is, and that's up. You know, if you live in the mountains, at least if you're at the bottom, if you want to see anything, you have to look up. Now, if you live at the top, I guess you have to look down. You can look up, but all you look into the heavens. But so let's train ourselves to look up, because that's where our strength comes from. Psalm 25:15, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." And then John 17, a couple verses here that what Jesus did when he prayed. John 17:1. "These words spoke Jesus," and he was talking in chapter 16. He was talking to the disciples and encouraging them and teaching them and so on. And then he starts in chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. And he says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven." He's talking to his Father. And so he trains his eyes toward heaven. And then in John 4:35, and this is a case where, no, I'm sorry, that's John 11:41, getting ahead of myself. This is when he was at Lazarus' tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and then Jesus lifted up his eyes, it says, and he prayed and or called for Lazarus to come forth. But again, he looked at lifted his eyes toward heaven, toward his Father, knowing that it was God that was going to do this. Just a couple instances of examples of what Jesus did when he prayed. So like I said, I don't think it's right or wrong if we lift our eyes up or bow our heads. I think it's honorable and it's reverent to bow our heads as well. And that's fine. But I think we should, especially in our private time, and it's just, you know, when we really need help, we look up. Look up. That's where our help is. It's from above. There's a verse in, again, this is a little, the subject is a little bit different, but it again gives the idea and tells us to lift up our eyes. It's John 4:35. Jesus says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Again, if we don't look up and look out, we won't see what's out there. We won't see the needs that are out there. We won't see the people that need help. We won't even recognize that the fields are white to harvest. If the farmer doesn't go check his crops and look, he will not realize, hey, it's time to get the beans in. I think there's some farmers around here that maybe should start looking, it looks to me like. But anyway, we recognize it's time. And so Jesus is saying, look out. The fields are ready for harvest. There are people that need to be saved. What can we do? I thought of a song. And I like songs, and especially songs with a message, and songs that seem like songs that we sung years ago seem to be come back to memory quite often. And there's a song that goes along with this: lift up your eyes and look on the fields. I don't know, I'm sure most of us have heard the song Redemption Draweth Nigh. The Gospel Echoes, I think, is the first time I heard that, heard them sing it, and it was back in the early 70s, the mid-70s maybe. But I see the copyright is 1970 to 1971. So it's an older song. And so as you think about it, people even back 50 years ago were talking about lifting up your eyes, looking, being aware of your surroundings, and getting ready. I'm just going to read this song. "Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told, how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still some people doubt he'll come again, but the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope. Soon Jesus Christ will descend." The chorus is, "Signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh." Then the verse that really goes with that is Luke 21:28. "And when these things begin to come to pass," again Jesus talking, "then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." One day Jesus is coming again. And as the scriptures would tell us, to be aware, to be ready, to be looking, to be watching. So if we, as Proverbs often talks about the sluggard and the lazy person that is doing nothing, just looking to get through the day, he's just aware of where he's at the moment, not willing to go out and lift his hand to do anything, to get anything. But the wise person is the one that is out preparing, getting ready, doing what he can, as the ants do, preparing for winter, storing up, doing those kind of things, helping people. So you and I as well, let's not forget, our redemption is drawing nigh. It's getting close. It's closer every day. So, as you face your situations, and as you look at life, as you at times become overwhelmed, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I believe it's a little bit like Reuben said in Sunday school. I just don't understand quite fully enough the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. If somehow I could just grasp that a little more, I think it would cause me to be different. And it wouldn't be that I would have to force myself to look up, but I would just naturally, my eyes would go toward heaven, to where our help comes from. So, after we pray, you can turn to 276 and the faith and praise, and Brian will lead us in that. And when you find it, you can stand. Thank you, Father, again, for your mercy toward us and your blessings that you have given to us. We're thankful and we're grateful today for all that we, the benefits that we can enjoy in this land. We think of your people around the world, those that do not have all these blessings that we do. I pray that you would help them and that your mercy and your love would also give to them the things that they need as well. I pray for each person that is here today and help us, God, as we go through each day. Help us to remember to turn our eyes toward you because you are our helper. You are the one that can help us, the only one. In whatever the situation, whatever the need is, that you are able, and we thank you for that. God, just as you healed the lepers, God, you have healed each of us from our diseases as well, our sin diseases. Thank you for the salvation, the redemption through Jesus, our Savior. And so I pray a blessing on each one as we separate this week. May you go with us. May you guide us. Keep us in your love and your care. Help us, Father, to look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we say?